Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, let this be our prayer, Lord, tonight. Let this be the prayer of everyone that is here, to live for Jesus, to give Him our heart, to turn our heart over to You, Lord, that may be Your very throne. Because of what You did for us on the cross, that You gave everything for us. Therefore, O Lord, put this desire and this passion in our hearts also. Oh, that we may want to give You our all and to surrender all to You. Because such love that You gave Your life to us on our behalf for us, O God, such love constrains us that we may also want to live for You. Lord, give us and empower each one of us this grace to do that which we have spoken even in this song tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord and say, hallelujah. Amen. I want to give a short exhortation tonight on living for Jesus. And I thought about it and I said, well, that song goes right well. I used to sing this hymn when I was, maybe about 40 years ago when I was in my teens. You know, and I just remember the song, you know. And it goes right well with this message, living for Jesus. But, you know, I'm going to give a little different viewpoint, you know, on one part of the message that I want to share with us today. I want to share about, you know, suffering for Christ in a different way. You know, when we talk about the subject of suffering for Christ, everybody, you know, who's a believer, you know, if you ask them what suffering for Christ means, you know, they probably say, well, you know, when you are persecuted for the name of Christ and so on, you know, and you take it joyfully, because that's what the Bible says. It says, look, rejoice when men revile you and persecute you for my name's sake. He said, great is your reward in heaven. And the Bible says, look, we should not suffer as evildoers, but, you know, if we suffer because of the name of Christ, he said, Lord, we should rejoice. You know, so generally speaking, when we talk about, you know, suffering for Christ, you know, that comes to mind. You know, the things that we suffer, you know, for his name's sake, you know, and so forth. When people ridicule you, and young people, if you were to stand up, you know, for Christ, you know, you might lose some of your friends, you know, so that comes to mind. And the Bible says, look, if any man will live godly, you know, in Christ Jesus, he will suffer persecution. You know, so we know that, you know, so that's usually the kind of thing that comes to mind when we talk about suffering for Christ. But I want to talk about something slightly different today. I'm going to start here in Philippians. Turn your Bible to Philippians chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 29. The book of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. And it says, for unto you it is given, in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So, you know, it is, you know, that's our portion. It is our portion, not only to believe, you know, but also to suffer for his sake. So I want, you know, that's what I want to talk about today, with a slightly different perspective. Different from the persecution aspect that people think when talk about suffering for Christ, and that's good, you know, we know that also, you know, and you know, but that's, you know, that's one aspect. So this other aspect is different that I want to talk about today, you know, and so forth. So you know, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Now, if you're familiar with this chapter, you might call it the Annals of Faith. They gave a good report here of all the people that did great things in the name of the Lord and so forth. You know, but I want to start from verse 24 and just read about three verses. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ to be greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, you may not have thought very much about this text, but it's very deep. You talk about Moses, he had a choice. You know, he was living, you know, they had drawn him out of the water, and somehow he ended in Pharaoh's house, you know, and so forth. And he was being raised up as though he was the son of Pharaoh's sister or whatever, you know. And, you know, and he had an opportunity to the throne, actually, you know, because he was greatly beloved. And he, you know, but at some point in time, he realized, you know, who he was, and that he really belonged with the Jews. And he made a decision. He made a decision. He gave up the, you know, what might have been his ascension to the throne. He had a good chance of becoming the Pharaoh. He gave that up, you know, to, you know, be counted with the slaves and so forth. He chose rather to, you know, the Bible says, choosing rather to suffer affliction, you know. So that's the part that I want to actually talk about today, you know. The suffering of affliction, you know, in the behalf of Christ. Remember the first verse we read, Philippians 1:29, it is given unto us, you know, not only to believe on him, but to suffer, you know, for his name's sake. You know, so that's the part that I want to talk about today. You know, and this man, he esteemed that the reproach of Christ was greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking forward, you know, to a greater reward, is basically what that, you know, what that means and so forth. You know, so let's talk about that for a little bit. You know, this part that I want to emphasize tonight is, look, when we choose to do things that are not comfortable for us, because, you know, this man had the opportunity to live a leisurely life. He could have stayed in, you know, the confines of the palace in Egypt and so forth, and, you know, had all these servants and all these things and all the, you know, soft clothing and meats of Egypt and so forth. But he said, well, you know, he chose a life that was a little more difficult, a lot more difficult, actually, you know, because he chose to be counted with the slaves rather than with, you know, to be, you know, a prince of Egypt. And he was a prince of Egypt, you know, and so forth, but he chose to be counted, you know, as a slave. You know, he saw that, look, you know, going to be counted with the people was going to suffer affliction. He was going to suffer hardships and various things from the taskmasters. They were not going to say, well, you know, you used to be the prince. You're not part of the slaves, you know, so he gave up his right, you know, and then he's going to be punished and treated the same way like the rest of the slaves and so forth, you know. Where are we going with that? Well, listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let me read verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So, the living for Jesus hymn that we sang at the beginning, and this aspect of suffering for Christ that I'm talking about, is actually more related to enduring hardness for the sake of Christ. That's the part that I want to talk about tonight. It's not exactly the persecution, you know, that people bring, you know, but enduring hardness. I mean, doing, you know, giving up pleasure and comfort, your comfort zone, to do something that's not comfortable, you know, because of the recompense of the reward, you know, because knowing that there is a reward, you see, knowing that there is a reward, you know, Moses looked to a greater reward. You know, he could have a reward of, you know, ascension, possibly, to the throne of Egypt at that time. He could have, you know, he had the earthly pleasures and so forth, but he chose that, look, this is really where I belong, you know, and it was a conscious effort, conscious decision that he made. He had already been delivered from slavery because they pulled him out of the Nile and gave him to Pharaoh's house, you know, but he chose to put himself in a situation to be counted, you know, with the people of God. And he knew it would be hard, you know. And this scripture right here says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? What is hardness? You know, hardness is not the easy life. Look, it is easy for us to just sit at home. It is easy for you not to come to church. It is easy for you not to come to the consecration service. It is actually easy for you not to fast. If we say it's time for fasting, it is easier not to fast, just eat, you know, and so on. So that part is easy. Now, but you can choose. See, you can choose to afflict your soul. You can choose hardship. This man chose to afflict his soul. He said, look, I will choose the afflictions of the people of Christ rather than the pleasures of sin for a minute. You know, you can choose to afflict your soul with fasting before the Lord, or you can choose the easy one. Easier to just sit at home, watch TV and eat food and go to the movies and do all these other things. That's a lot easier. It is easier for you to stay at home during church service and not come. That's easier, you know. And then sometimes, you know, when you have an opportunity to do something for God, it is easier, you know, for not to do it. It's just easier for you to say, well, nobody else is doing it, you know, so, you know, I won't do it either, you know. But, you know, there is also a hardness and a hardship that comes from doing things for the Lord. Living for Christ in that way, suffering for Christ in that way, is the part that I'm talking about tonight. Not necessarily the persecutions and all these other things, but the choice that we make. You know, to do things that are not comfortable. To get out of your comfort zone. Like that song that we sang, he said, look, looking for those, you know, for whom he died. Looking for the weary, to bring them back to rest in him. I mean, those things are not comfortable things. It's not comfortable for you to go out of your comfort zone to go and speak to somebody about Christ. You know, it's not. Because they might reject you or whatever. And it's hard work. It's not easy work because you have to get out of your bed, you know, like on Saturday morning or whatever it is. You have to actually go do something. It's not easy. It's easier for you to just lay down and sleep all day or whatever else, you know, and so forth. You know, that's easier. But if you can also choose to suffer affliction for Christ. You know, you can choose to do the things. There may be some things that you are doing in the church, which are not easy. You know, it's easier for you to just quit and not do it. I mean, that's a lot easier. You know, easier. If you have to get up early in the morning, you know, to do something, maybe teach Sunday school or whatever and so forth, you know, that's afflicting yourself, basically. Because you could sleep in a couple of extra hours, you know, and not do it. You know, if you have to get up early in the morning and come to church to pray, that's kind of afflicting yourself because, hey, you could sleep in an extra few hours and you can come in anytime you want instead of coming early to pray, you know. But, you know, you could choose to afflict yourself. You could choose hardness for the sake of Christ. And that's the kind of living for Jesus and the suffering for Christ that I'm talking about. Can you say amen? Is everybody still understanding me? Okay. So, you know, I started this message by saying, look, there are various kinds of suffering for Christ. There is the suffering for Christ out of persecution and so forth. You believe the Lord and then you get ridiculed and so on because of him and so forth. Or you even lose certain privileges and so forth, you know, that people take away from you, you know, like on your job or whatever, just because you love the name of the Lord, or they may persecute you that way. That's also another aspect. But I want to focus in on this aspect of, you know, the conscious decision that we make to, you know, to put ourselves, you know, and do some things that are not comfortable. You know, we choose the hard way, you know, and so forth, you know, because we're doing it for Christ. Now, remember, the Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 6, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, and you know, let's see what the Bible says about, you know, the not being weary in well-doing. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Can you say amen? Amen. That's right. Don't be weary in well-doing. You know, it is easier to be weary. It's easier to give up. It's easier to not, you know, put yourself on the line, you know. That's easier. But, you know, if you choose to do these hard things for the sake of the name of the Lord, you know, there is great reward. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. But let me tell you something also that the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Listen to this. You know, I want to explain this and just clear this up because of what I'm talking about here. You know, we cannot be saved by our works and so forth. Jesus is the only one that did that, you know, for us. So listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I wanted to clear that up right now. I'm not telling anybody here that what you do is what's going to save you, you know. But I'm saying that, look, but look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You know, so when we are saved, after we've been saved, we have to be careful to maintain good works. That's what the Bible says. You know, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, now, there is reward for whatever we do. You know, there's a difference between the salvation and the rewards. See? Now, when we are saved, after we give our life to Christ, after repentance, and we are converted, and we give our life to Christ, and God puts a new spirit and a new heart in us, as the Bible has said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. After we experience that, all things are passed away and all things become new. After we experience that, then we must be careful to maintain good works, because it is the works that will be rewarded. You know, so you must remember, you must have respect unto the recompense of the reward. You must be thinking. Moses was thinking about it. He was thinking, well, you know, there might be, you know, there's greater reward, you know, if I do this than this one that I'm having right now. You know, so if you choose the easy way right now, you already have your reward, saith the Lord. But if you choose the hard way for his name's sake, you choose to suffer affliction right now, you choose to do some things for Christ that are not comfortable for your body, you know, at your comfort zone, then, you know, there is tremendous reward that is coming. And listen to what Jesus said in Revelation 22 and verse 12. Listen to this. Revelation 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give unto every man according as his work shall be. Now, the reward is for the work, you know. So, yeah, he's going to give to every man according to his work and so forth like that. Now, you know, who knows, you know, how he will give those rewards. We don't know that. You know, there are some scriptures, some parables, and some things that give us a clue. We don't know, you know, exactly what he will do. But, what you do for Christ after you've given your life to Christ, you know, your yieldedness, you know, to doing things in his name, even though they are uncomfortable and so forth, suffering for him like that, may actually be setting you up for the life hereafter, you know. So, unless you don't believe in the reward system of God hereafter, if you don't believe, then you may not worry about this. But, you know, there is reward for everything that we do. And when we suffer in this way, when we endure hardness in this way, you know, it is a type of consecration, you know. Now, consecration is not just, you know, one weekend out of the month. You consecrate, a consecrated life is a yielded life, as we sang in that song. It's a yielding allegiance to him. You know, so it's a yielded life, consecration. You know, and if you yield to the Spirit of God, he may lead you to do things that are not comfortable for you, but that bring glory to his name. Can you say amen? That's right. And as long as he brings glory to his name, that's what matters. Doesn't matter whether you are uncomfortable about it or not. Because he's already been more than uncomfortable on your behalf. And some people say, why do we suffer? Well, Christ already suffered, you know, for us. You know, so, you know, now, you know, you find out that, you know, there is tremendous reward when people give, you know, their ultimate sacrifice you can give is to lay down your life for Christ, for the gospel, you know, and so forth like that. You know, and people who gave their lives for the gospel that we saw in the scriptures, it wasn't every time that they were delivered from that or that God prevented it, because it brings the ultimate reward. We see in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 7 and so forth, when Stephen was being stoned to death, you know, at the time that they were stoning him for his testimony and so forth, we see that he, you know, he looked up and he saw the Christ. And the Bible says, you know, of course, first he said, you know, that he prayed just like Jesus prayed. He said, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing and so forth. And that's the true spirit, you know, of the believer, is to forgive the enemies, even those that are despitefully using you. That's what the Bible says, you know. So this man, when they were stoning him to death and so forth like that, you know, he looked up, and when he was looking up, he said, I see Jesus. I see the Son of God, you know. And that's what he said. You know, it looked as if he actually saw the Lord standing up. Standing up, he said. Wow. Listen to this. Acts chapter 7, verse 59. And they stoned Stephen while he was calling upon God. And then he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That's Acts 7:59. And in verse 60, he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, and he fell asleep, you know, and so forth. But before that, if you look at verse 55, he said, you know, when they heard these things, verse 54, when they heard these things, they were caught, you know, all this sermon that he preached, they were caught and they gnashed with their teeth and so forth. And Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Well, at that particular time, it would seem as if Jesus wasn't sitting down. It would seem that Jesus was actually standing up and giving this man a standing ovation that was about to give his life. You know, because, I mean, he's seated at the right hand of God, but he wasn't sitting that time. He stood up, you know, and he was applauding Stephen for giving the ultimate sacrifice. And he gave his life. And Jesus actually stood up to receive it. You know, that's beautiful. You know, you may not see it like that, but that's beautiful. You know, and, you know, we are not all called to this kind of thing. We're not called to give our life to Christ, but we are called to live for Christ. Amen? Amen, people? We must understand the difference. You must live. Jesus died for us, but he wants us to live for him. In everything we do, you need to make a conscious decision to live for Christ. You know, and if it means, you know, it's hard on your body, yeah, sure, it'll be hard on your, you know, your psyche sometimes, your soul and so forth. You know, people may reject you and so forth. That's the other kind of the persecution. But it may not even be when, you may not be rejected by anybody, but it may just be hard things that you have to do. I mean, if you have to, you know, get up in the morning and come and do something in the church in order to get the your church ready for everybody else, you know. I mean, suppose it was your responsibility to come here and clean the church and to get this, you know, the building ready for the service, you know, and so forth like that. You know, that's not any kind of persecution, but it may be hard on you to get up every morning, you know, to do that and so forth. You know, it might be easier for you to just sleep in a few hours extra and so forth and not do it. You know, so just think about it, you know. Just think about it, you know. So the things that we have opportunity, we have opportunity to choose the easier way, but if we end up choosing the harder way, you know, in order to accomplish the things of God, you know, then there is great reward for it. You know, that's what I'm trying to say here tonight. You know, and if you understand that, say amen. That's right. You know, so, you know, now, also, it is easier for you to just go along with temptation. The devil tempts you to do something wrong, that's easy. Just do it, you know. Now, it's harder for you to not do it, you know. So you must choose to not do the wrong thing, You know, and that's not the easiest thing in the world sometimes. Look, there are so many things that are in the Bible along this line. And I don't want to preach very long tonight. You know, when the Bible says, you know, forgive the person that hates you or despitefully uses you, you know, and so forth, it is easier for you actually not to forgive. You know, it comes naturally to the sinful flesh or the, you know, carnal mind to be bitter and to be, you know, not forgiving. That is natural. And for you to get your own back, you know, revenge and all these things. Somebody does something to you, you're going to do your own and so on. That's easier in the flesh, you know. But if you choose to do the hard thing, you know, which is actually doing what the scripture commands, it may not be easy on your flesh, but you do it anyway because that's what he commanded, then that's actually suffering affliction for him. You know, you may not have thought about it that way before, but that's the part that I'm bringing out tonight in this consecration, is when you choose to suffer affliction like that for Christ, you know, in which case you chose the hard way, you know, rather than the easy way out, you know, and you chose to do the hard thing, which is pleasing unto him, you know, he may be asking you to do something, or the Spirit of God may be leading you to do some things which are harder on the flesh, you know, and so forth, but you choose to do it, even though it's hard on the flesh, there's a great, tremendous reward, because you have sacrificed, you know, you have chosen, you know, to suffer affliction rather than the pleasures of disobedience or sin for a season, you know, and Moses, we are told, he had respect to the recompense of the reward. In his mind, he was thinking about a greater reward, you know, and if we faint not in well-doing, the Bible says, in due season, we shall receive the reward. Now, we're told, you know, in many places in the Bible that there is reward for what we do. You know, everybody gets reward for what they do. I mean, the Bible says, look, there's going to be a resurrection of life. I mean, resurrection. And those that have done good, you know, resurrection unto life. You know, those that have done evil and so forth. So there's reward for all of those. Even those that give, you know, a cup of water to somebody else in the name of the Lord, you know, there's reward for it. You know, somebody that does something and so forth for the Lord. Look, God is keeping track of everything. Don't you ever forget it. I don't care what you think you have done that nobody has noticed. The Lord is keeping score. Amen? Amen, amen, folks? Amen. The Lord is keeping score of everything. And there is reward, you know. Now, if those things that you are doing in his name are for good and so forth like that, you know, which you don't get any reward for, you know, actually it's better for you not to get any reward here on earth so that you can get reward in heaven. You know, because you can't really be rewarded, you know, if, you know, just like the Bible says, look, if your reward is to get praise of man, you know, because you did something, then you already have your reward, you know, so that's it. So you can't have it again. But if you get no reward at all, you get no praise, you get no acknowledgement, you get nothing for what you did for the Lord and things that you chose to do which were hard on you, then the Bible says there's tremendous reward. And Paul was writing in the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, look, you know, we're all going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, there's, you know, not to be judged about that, because we're already judged in Christ. We were judged in Christ on the cross, and God already took care of that, and we already passed from death unto life. But when we appear, it's going to be, look, you know, the works will be judged. He said, look, God has given me grace as a wise master builder, and I've laid the foundation. But let every man be, you know, careful how he build upon it. You know, if you build wood, hay, and stubble, and so forth, he said the works will suffer loss, even though the person himself may be saved, or will be saved. But their works will suffer loss. They will have no reward. But if they build gold, silver, precious stones, and so forth like that, on the foundation. Now, the foundation in this case is your conversion. You know, conversion and giving your life to Christ. That's the foundation. But what are you building on top of that? You're just building nothing. You just be converted and you just sit down there and so forth like that. You know, what is it actually that you are doing to your credit for the Lord? You know, and especially, you know, look, there is an adage that says, no pain, no gain. You know, even the things of the world, people say that. You know, you have, you know, athletes know that, you know, when they are training, you know, they have to put their body through a lot of pain, you know, to get some gain, you know. So even in natural world, that's why the Bible says the children of this world are sometimes wiser than the children in their own generation, than even the children of the kingdom. Because the world knows this, that you've got to put in pain in order to get gain. But the children of God, they don't want no pain. You know, we don't want any affliction of the body, anything that's uncomfortable. We don't want that. You know, we just want, you know, just the easy stuff and so on. You know, in the same way, you know, rebuke from the Lord is never comfortable. You know, the Bible says no chastising of the you know, at the present moment is comfortable for us and so forth. But God chastises those that whom he loves. You know, so if you don't take rebuke from the Lord just because it's not comfortable, and you choose, you know, continue in your ways and so forth like that, well, you know, I don't know, you know, what the end of that will be. But if you choose to, you know, you say, look, endure the chastising of the Lord and so forth as children. You know, if you choose the correction of the Lord, and he tells you stuff like he's telling you in this exhortation right here, you know, to choose not the easy stuff just because it's the easy stuff, but you choose even, look, and I think the things of God are never easy. Because it wasn't easy to hang on the cross. Amen? How many of you think it was easy for Christ to hang on the cross? No, it wasn't easy. You know, because he's the creator, and they had to mock him and do all these things and so forth. And even physically, he went through a lot of pain. You know, in fact, one time he said, look, you know, and he looked at the, you know, just the thought of having to become sin for the whole world. He who knew no sin. This was the one person that was all righteousness, and he was completely light, because in him is no darkness at all. But he had to become darkness for a moment. God was going to depart from him. He knew all of that. So he dreaded that very moment, you know. And God had to depart from him because he became darkness when he carried the sin of the world. And God cannot be associated with sin. So God departed from him for a minute. The Spirit of God did. He lamented on the cross. Why hast thou departed from me, O my Father? And so on. You know, so, you know, it wasn't easy for him to go through all of that, you know. Neither will it be easy for us, you know, to go through the things, you know. But the Bible says even against sin, we have not yet even shed blood, striving against sin. So, you know, we need to resist sin. We need to resist, you know, the easy things that make easy for the flesh when it is contrary to the will of God. You know, we need to choose the things, you know, that, you know, are in line with righteousness and the truth of God's word, even though it may be hard on the flesh. You know, so I'm making a distinction tonight, not just on when it is hard because people speak against you. That's the other kind of persecution that most of us know about, you know, when we talk about suffering for Christ. That's there, and we understand that. But I'm making the distinction on not even when anybody is not saying anything against you, but something that the Spirit of God has put on you that you should do, but it is not easy for you in the flesh to do. Or something that you know to do, but you won't do. You know, and the Bible says that, look, to him that knows to do but doesn't do, to him it is sin. You know to do something and you don't do it, then it's sin to you already. You know, so, you know, but, and why is it that people don't do what they know to do? Sometimes laziness. Sometimes it's easier to not do what we should do. You know, so, you know, so I want us to think about it. Think about it during this time of consecration. And let the Spirit of God speak to you. I mean, the things that, you know, that you should do. And you children, you know, you listen to this also. You know, when somebody who is in the authority over you, you know, like your parents, or your teacher at school, or here in the church, you know, people who are in authority over you tell you to do something, it's easy for you to not do it, you know, and just try to weasel your way out of it. You know, that's the easy way. But the hard way is for you to be in obedience and do the thing that you have been asked to do by your parents. You know, so that's not easy, you know, and so forth. Obeying your parents is not easy. Honoring your father and mother is not easy. you know, and so on like that. It's easy for you to just not do that or do something opposite. But I tell you something, folks. If you do the things that God commands, even though they are hard on the flesh, if you choose to live for Christ in doing the things that He commands, and you choose to suffer affliction for Him like that, you know, choosing rather to suffer affliction for the name of Christ rather than choosing the easy way out, you know, God will bring to you the recompense of the reward. Can you say amen? There's great reward for doing that, you know, and you know, so I want us to meditate on that tonight and think about all the things that we could be doing for the Lord that we are not doing because it's not comfortable, you know, and so sometimes people quote this scripture that, you know, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I know that, just like everybody else. You know, so most people hide behind that scripture to say that, well, I'm not being led, you know, to do this or to do that. I tell you something, folks. You know, most people are not led by the Spirit of God in order to get up in the morning and go to work because they're going to get a paycheck. And I'm waiting to be led. When it is time to get up in the morning, they get up, they get dressed, and they go to work. They got to put in a 5-hour work day, 6-hour work day, work double hours, and so forth. Believers, I'm not talking about unbelievers. You know, they do all that and so forth because they are going to collect a paycheck. You know, but, you know, and that's not easy either, but there is a reward for it. See, because there is a reward. You work 2 weeks, you get a paycheck. So there is a reward. So it's not easy, but people do it. You know, it's not easy for you to get out of bed when you know you have to be at work at 8 o'clock, you know, and get up, and sometimes you are tired and so forth, but you still have to get up and go to work. And that's not easy. Some of you have to drive many miles to get to work. That's not easy either. You have to fight through traffic. It's not easy. But you do it because there's a reward. Because if you do it for so many days, at the end of the pay period, you're going to get a check. You're going to collect a check, you know. Now, for the things of God, there may not seem to be a reward because no, there's no check to collect at the end of the time that you do it and so forth. So because of that, you know, it may not seem like it's rewarding to do those things for God. But if you choose to suffer the pain, you know, like, you know, you suffer the pain of going to work because you are going to collect a reward. So you might choose to also suffer the pain of doing whatever it is that the Lord wants you to do, even though there doesn't seem to be an immediate benefit that is visible to the eye. But I promise you that there is benefit. Amen? Amen, amen, folks? There is real benefit, you know, the kind of reward that is everlasting. Not just lasting, but real reward. Because when He comes, He say, bring in my reward with me to give to everyone according as his work shall be. That's what's rewarded, not, you know, you know, not just sitting down. You know, a lot of people will be saved but have no reward. See? And because, you know, they had opportunity to do things that were not comfortable, and they chose not to do it because it wasn't comfortable. You know, so you are actually rewarded, you know, when you do things that are uncomfortable. You know, you may think that that's not true, but that's true. Many scriptures bear that out. You know, many, many scriptures bear that out. In fact, the Bible says one time some people were casting money in the sanctuary, and they saw, you know, everybody was putting a lot of money and so forth like that, and they had a lot. And then here comes along this old widow, putting just a widow's mite. People call it after that. He had a little thing, maybe a nickel, whatever, the smallest, you know, denomination of money that they had in those days. And Jesus said that this woman actually gave more than the others, because the others, you know, they gave out of their abundance, so it was easy for them. You know, it didn't cost them anything. Even David himself said, look, I'm not going to give anything to the Lord that doesn't cost me something. You know, so it didn't cost these people anything, because they had a lot, so they gave, so it didn't cost them as much. You know, it's still good to give, even though you have a lot. That's good too. You know, because you may have a lot and still not give. So that's good too. But this, you know, so it's good if you give. But this woman, you know, it cost her everything that she had. Everything. And then when she gave that, because that's all she had left. She gave it all, you know, and she didn't know where she was going to get anything more after that. She said, well, you know, that's it. I'll just give it to the Lord, you know. And the Lord said, wow, this woman gave more than all those people. See, so that's what I'm talking about. When something costs you pain in doing it for the Lord, it carries tremendous reward. Amen. So don't be discouraged. You know, a lot of people are discouraged just because there may be no accolades. And so, and I'm not talking about things necessarily that get visibility. You know, there are some things that get visibility. You know, like, you know, I'm the pastor, I preach and so forth, so it's visible when I'm here on the stage and so forth like that. I'm not necessarily talking about that. You know, well, that too. That's hard too. You know, that's not easy either. You know, that's not easy either. I'll tell you something, folks. It's not easy. You know, but you may not even get any visibility. You may be behind the scenes, you know, and there may be things that you need to do, you know, to keep the ministry flowing. And if you are not doing your part, you know, just because whatever, you know, then you've chosen the easy way out. You know, there was one time Jesus said, look, you know, the hireling shepherd, he saw the wolf coming, and it was easier for him to just leave the wolf, you know, rather than fight for them, because, you know, he's just a hireling. He's, you know, the sheep don't belong to him, so he doesn't really care, you know, and so forth like that, you know. But if the sheep were his, he'd lay down his life for that sheep. He'd fight off the wolf, like David did. He'd fight off the bear and the lion and all these things. David was ready to give up his life and so forth. You know, so, you know, how do you see yourself? You know, I don't know, you know. But you just think about it. Think about it in his consecration. I heard a saying one time that said, you know, there was something to be done. There were four people and so forth, you know. I can't remember it. I wasn't thinking of it to say it, and maybe I would have looked it up. It was kind of funny. But there were four people, and one of them was named Everybody. The other one was named Nobody. And the third one was named Somebody. And I can't remember what the fourth one was named anyway. So there was a job, you know, for everybody to do, you know, and everybody thought that somebody would do it, but nobody did it. So, you know, that's kind of funny, you know. There's one more part to it. I forgot how it goes, you know, but, you know, when there's something to do and everybody, you know, so the job belonged to everybody. There's this one person, his name was Everybody, and it was his job to do it, you know. You know, so, but everybody said that somebody, like there was somebody else, another person called Somebody. So they said somebody will do it. And then, you know, but somebody didn't do it. So it was Nobody. There was another person called Nobody that actually did it. You know, so it's kind of a funny saying, but I don't know if you get the drift. But the thing is this, look, you know, there's nobody else but you. Amen? Amen, folks? There is nobody else but you. The moment you think that there is somebody else, then you are not ready to suffer pain for the Lord. There is nobody else. It's just you. You know, it's you and the Lord. That's why one time the Lord told Peter, you know, you love me more than this fish and all these kind of things. And he kept, you know, saying. And then the Lord told him, look. And so Peter asked him, okay, what about John? What will he do? And the Lord said, look, what is it to you? Never mind what John is not doing or going to do. You do what it is that I'm asking you to do. Amen? That's the problem with most folks. They say, well, nobody else doing it, and so forth like that. You know, don't worry about that. That's what Jesus told Peter. Don't worry about John. It's none of your business. Whatever it is. You do what it is I'm asking you to do. Don't worry about somebody else. You know, just do your part. Praise the Lord. For husband and wife, the same thing. It's a lot easier for you to just, if you're a husband, to be bitter against your wife and all these things and so forth. That's easier, you know, than to follow the commandment and do the right thing, you know. So, but if you choose to do the right thing, always, there's tremendous reward. The same thing for the wife. It's easy for you not to obey your husband and so on, you know, and just do whatever you like, you know. That's easier. It's harder for you to submit yourself. That's harder. But if you choose to suffer that, you know, quote-unquote affliction, you know, there's tremendous reward, you know, because you are doing things the right way. Praise you in the name of the Lord. I want us to stand to our feet. Well, that's my exhortation tonight. It was a little longer than I meant it to be. I actually didn't prepare to say all those things. There was a few things that I wanted to say in line with that message. But nevertheless, I give God the praise and glory. So you get the point. And if you get the point, I want you to say, praise the Lord. So the point is that you may have to choose sometimes the hard way when it brings glory to God and not easy for your flesh. It may not be easy for your flesh. But if you are consistent and you don't give up, Galatians 6:9, if you are not weary in well-doing, in due season, you are going to reap the reward. Amen. Amen, amen, folks. So during this time of consecration, I want us to take time to pray. Stand where you are in your seat. Nobody needs to come out for this prayer. Well, right there where you are in your seat. You've heard the message. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. That's what the Bible said. Now examine yourself in light of this message. You know, this message was talking to me too. I'm not pointing any fingers. You know. But, so you examine yourself and see where you're falling short. You know, have you necessarily, have you been sometimes choosing the easier way out? See? The easier way out. You think about all those things that we said in the message and more that we didn't say. Was it easier for you to not do the right thing? You know? But if you decide today, after having heard this message and this exhortation, the exhortation that I speak unto you as to sons, which is what this exhortation is, this is consecration. If you decide today that, look, I will do the right thing, even though it's uncomfortable for my body and for my life, and it is, I have to get out of my comfort zone to do the right thing. If you decide to do that, and if you are willing to do that, I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to give you the grace. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. So let's lift up our hands all over this auditorium, and I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, the exhortation that has spoken to us as to sons today has spoken to us. And we know that rebuke is, you know, not the easiest thing on the flesh. But you've given us and shown us, Lord, that we should, rather than choosing the easy way out, choose to suffer and endure hardness for the sake of Christ. For as many here today, Lord, that want to do that, but the spirit being willing and the flesh being weak, we ask, O Lord, for grace in the inner man, that we may be strengthened in the inner man, that our spirit may have the power, hallelujah, to do even the things which the flesh will not want to do. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Father, give grace and strength to your people, Lord, to be able to rise up from within. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And to be able to overcome the flesh and do the right thing all the time, even though it may be hard on the flesh. Because we know that there is great recompense of reward that is hereafter. Even as you said, Lord, I come with my reward with me, to give to every man according to their work, as it shall be. Give us understanding concerning this, Lord, that we may lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust or moth corrupts, or thief breaks in and steals. Help us to understand how it is to lay up this kind of treasure by choosing now to live for Christ and to suffer affliction for his name, though it may not be easy on the flesh. Father, give us this grace. We ask it with thanksgiving. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Everybody say amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.